A few weeks ago, Sherman and Karen approached me and told me that the shows for this year's Broadway Sermon Series had been chosen, and they had one that was perfect for me. Mamma Mia. Now, what is it, I ask you, about a colorful, flamboyant, over-the-top, disco-fueled musical that made her think of me? Mamma Mia is a jukebox musical written by British playwright Katherine Johnson, based on the songs of ABBA, and composed by Benny Anderson and Bjorn Ulvaeus. The show is set on a fictional Greek island where Donna lives with her daughter Sophie. 20-year-old Sophie is preparing to marry her fiancé, Skye. Sophie wants her father to walk her down the aisle, but she has a small problem. She doesn't know who he is. She sets out to find the answer and discovers her mother's old diary. She reads the entries, which describe intimate dates that her mother had with three men, Sam, Bill, and Harry. The dates happened over a single summer, 9 months before Sophie was born. Sophie is sure that one of these men is her father. So just before her wedding, she sends each of the three men an invitation to her wedding. She writes in her mother's name, without letting her mother know, "You know, I was thinking it would have been much easier just to go on the Maury show and hear him say, 'The results are in, and you are not the father.' But if we had, then we would not have this awesome musical." Fast forward 3 months to the week of Sophie's wedding. Sophie's mother, Donna, begins receiving guests at her hotel. The first to arrive are her longtime best friends, Tanya and Rosie. The trio used to comprise a girl group called Donna and the Dynamos. While the three women catch up and talk about their lives, Sam, Bill, and Harry, Sophie's three possible dads, arrive. Before the three have a chance to greet Donna, Sophie confronts them and convinces them not to tell Donna that it was Sophie who invited them. Sophie even convinces him to stay out of sight in a little-used part of the hotel. But Donna eventually does see the three men, of course, and she dissolves into tears. Just as you expect, the story of Sophie's parentage begins to unfold. And this is how it goes. When Donna met Sam, she was clear that he was the love of her life. Sam felt the same way about Donna, but he was already engaged to another woman. He went home to break off the engagement, but he didn't tell Donna where he was going or why. Thinking that she had been dumped, Sam had dumped her, Donna went on romantic getaways with both Harry and Bill, trying to ease her broken heart. Mamma Mia, things are starting to get complicated.
I was cheated by you, and I think you know when. So I made up my mind, it must come to an end. Look at me now. Does it show again? My, just how much I missed ya. Yes, I've been brokenhearted, blue since the day we parted. Why did I ever let you go? Mama mia, now I really know. My, I should not have let you go. I was angry and sad when I knew we were through. I can't count all the times I've cried over you. Look at me now, will I ever learn? I don't know how, but I suddenly lose control. There's a fire within my soul. Just one look and I can hear a bell ring. One more look and I forget everything. Whoa, mama mia, here I go again. My, how can I resist? Mama mia, does it show again? My, just how much I missed ya. Yes, I've been broken hearted, blue since the day we parted. Why did I ever let you go?
Donna was in tears as she recounted the story of her affairs to her friends Tanya and Rosie. Her broken heart was compounded, she explains, when she told her own mother that she was pregnant. And her mother banished her and told her never to come home again. Through the whole story, Tanya and Rosie, as best friends do, listen without judgment and offer Donna their support and encouragement. What a difference that was from the one that Donna had received from her own mother. We can see some possible parallels between Donna and the woman in our scripture reading today. This woman, a Samaritan, goes out to the town square to draw water from the well. She goes out at noon, the hottest part of the day, when no one else is around. What could account for that? Could it be that for some reason she was not welcome among the other women? The ones who came in the cool of the early morning? That seems to be the case, as Jesus discovers in talking with her. When Jesus asks her for some water, the woman is taken aback. After all, men and women of that time who weren't family did not interact with each other. The woman says to Jesus, "Don't you know who I am?" And Jesus replies, indeed, he does know who she is and what she's all about. Jesus tells her that he knows that she's had 5 husbands and is currently living with a 6th man who she isn't married to. We begin to understand through this exchange that the woman's situation and reputation are not too far removed from what Donna's would have been when she found out herself unmarried and pregnant in the 1960s. But Jesus' response to the woman is not at all like Donna's mother's response to her had been. Jesus' response is more like the non-judgmental, compassionate response of Donna's friends. Jesus didn't call the woman names or condemn her for her past. Instead, Jesus offers her living water. I believe that the living water that Jesus offered is equal to acceptance and forgiveness. And the woman must understand this on some level because she remains to talk to Jesus. She forgets about the stigma and the disapproval of the people and lets herself drink in the living water of Jesus' words and presence. Afterwards, she runs back into town and tells the people about her encounter with the Messiah. And she says to them, y'all need to come see this. there's a man who knows all about me and everything that I have ever done. Yikes. Can you imagine someone telling you that they know all about your secrets and your past? Knowing me, I know I prefer that not to happen.
More carefree laughter, silence ever after, walking through an empty house, tears in my eyes, and this is where the story ends, this is goodbye. This is nothing we can do. Knowing me, knowing you, we just have to face it this time. We're through. Breaking up is never easy, I know, but I have to go. Knowing me, knowing you, it's the best I can. Memories, good days, sad days, they'll be with me always. In those old familiar rooms, children would play, but now there's only emptiness, nothing to say. Knowing me, knowing you, there is nothing we can do. Knowing me, knowing you, we just have to face it this time. We're through. Breaking up is never easy, I know, but it's the best I can do.
Before we leave the woman at the well to go back to the musical story, let me emphasize my main point one more time. Jesus knows all about the woman's past, and yet he has offered her forgiveness. He has offered her living water, the renewed life that comes with forgiveness. In Mamma Mia, Sophie knows all about her mom's past and is okay with it. She has forgiven her. The people in the island know all about Donna's story and they accept her. Donna's friends know her story and offer her love and acceptance. What a gift that is to everyone. You might think that the story can end there and everyone can live happily ever after these offerings of love and acceptance and forgiveness. But no, there's another thing that can't be resolved that neatly and that simply. And that's the fact that for 20 years, Donna has kept a secret. Yes, the secret has come to light, but that doesn't change the fact that all of the characters have been impacted by the secret for all these years. Sophie has lived without a parent. The three possible fathers have lived without knowing their daughter. Donna has lived without a partner. It goes on and on and on. Secrets, even well-meaning secrets, seem to do more harm than good. Here's a story from my childhood that illustrates how harmful secrets can be. There were two sisters who lived three houses down from us. I've changed their names to protect their privacy which is very different than keeping a secret. Cindy was several years older than me, and Patty was the same age. All the kids in the neighborhood were close, and we took turns playing at one another's houses. But one day, all of that began to change. The chain link fence that surrounded Cindy and Patty's backyard was replaced by a 6-foot high cedar privacy fence. Patty was allowed only girl playmates, and only at her home, and only during certain hours of the day. Cindy all but disappeared. I later learned that Cindy was forced to stay in her room almost all the time so that no one would see her and know her secret and what she had done. After she had her baby, Cindy just simply disappeared, presumably to go live with a relative far from her home. This was the late 1960s, so sex, ethics, unwed mothers, and perceived immorality were dealt with quite differently. Cindy's parents probably thought they were keeping this secret for their family's own good in protecting the family image and reputation. They probably thought keeping this secret would make things easier for Patty, the sister who wasn't pregnant. They probably didn't want her to be punished for her sister's mistakes. But in keeping the secret, they actually punished her themselves. They took away some of the precious opportunities and friendships of childhood. They separated her from her sister. The parents let both girls know how conditional their love was and how quickly it could be lost. It's helpful to take inventory every so often to see if we're holding on to any secrets of our own. Sure, some things are best kept private, especially in this era of 24/7 social media and constant TMI. But secrets are often tied to shame and guilt. Secrets are often held close for the wrong reasons. Secrets have a way of multiplying and demanding more and more secrecy, even lies. And that's no way to live. If you are holding on to secrets, I urge you to consider finding a safe place, a therapist, or a pastor or mentor who can offer you a safe place to discuss the secret and to figure out what impact keeping the secret is having on you. When it comes to secrets, there are many losers and very few winners.
I don't want to talk about the things we've gone through, though it's hurting me. Now it's history. I've played all my cards, and that's what you've done too. Nothing more to say. No more ace to play. The winner takes it all, the loser standing tall beside the victory. That's our destiny. I was in your arms, thinking I belonged there. I figured it made sense, building me a fence, building me a home, thinking I'd be strong there. But I was a fool, playing by the rules. The gods may throw the die, eyes, their minds as cold as ice, and someone way down here loses someone dear. The winner takes it all. The winner takes it all.
As our show ends, Sophie decides to delay her wedding for now. Donna forgives Sam. He in turn forgives Donna. And they marry. All three of the possible dads choose to share in Sophie's life, to act like a father figure without feeling the need to take a paternity test. You know, that's one of my favorite parts about this musical. There really aren't any bad guys. For the most part, love, forgiveness, and acceptance carry the day. Wouldn't it be great if it were true for our real life stories? If love, forgiveness, and acceptance could carry the day? Wouldn't it be great if we had a book to follow? A score to follow? That could show us how to live? We do. It's called the Bible. Jack Zavada writes in his faith website, Learn Religions, this story of the woman at the well is one of the most well-known in the Bible. Many people can easily tell a summary of it. On its surface, the story chronicles ethnic prejudice and a woman shunned by her community. But take a deeper look, and you'll realize it reveals a great deal about Jesus' character. Above all, the story which unfolds suggests that Jesus is a loving and accepting God. And we should follow his example when we accept each other, when we no longer judge others on their past mistakes. We are following in Christ's footsteps. My invitation to you today is to make the choice to follow in Christ's footsteps, to follow Jesus, to be like the woman at the well and choose to accept Christ's love and forgiveness. When we allow ourselves that grace, we can let go of secrets and the other things that hold us back and live our lives truthfully, openly, and abundantly. Y'all, we can dance. We can thrive having the time of our lives.